home of the Sacramento Kings, and of course, your Sacramento home of the San Francisco 49ers. Got Jay and Whitey today with Kyle Draper recuperating. Jay, I don't need to worry about the 49ers this week, do I?
No.
As we get ready to bring in Emil against Arizona, do I?
No, I'm going to say no, and Emil's going to tell us why no.
All right, yes.
Please tell us no, Emil.
Emil Fragoso, our Sacktown Sports 49er insider, brought to you by Timber Creek Ballroom. Everyone knows by now Timber Creek offers an incredible golf course experience. Did you know they also have an incredible ballroom available for your next upcoming event?
I did not know that.
Thank you, Timber Creek Ballroom. Emil, what about it? The 49ers got all these injuries that they're dealing with, guys missing practice. Should we be concerned about the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, Jay Johnson, I hate to inform you, but you should have a little bit of concern about the Arizona Cardinals, and it's not because of the Arizona Cardinals. It's because of the 49ers' own injury woes. We know the history of these Niners and the injury bug. Well, after 14 weeks of basically getting through with most of their roster, week 15 has a long list of injuries, and that includes no Arik Armstead and Javon Hargrave this week.
So tough. Does that mean, Emil, that the interior of the 49er line will be vulnerable against a team that does have some ability to rush the ball?
Yes, they do, especially if they get that going with James Conner, obviously at 100 yards rushing against the Steelers before their bye week, which they are coming off the bye week in week 14, which is always a cause for concern with any team playing them, a well-rested team like that. And look, the Steelers aren't very good, but their defense is at least competitive, and their defense is at least stacked with, you know, good players. And so for James Conner, who is a good back when healthy, if he's healthy right now, that's a cause for concern against the Niners, who have shown a little bit of run issues the last couple of games. They've gotten it shored up in the second half, but the first half they've gotten run on a little bit. And so I do think that Javon Kinlaw, Kevin Givens, even Kalia Davis, they are ready for this moment, especially against the Cardinals because of their Cardinals' offensive line interior concerns, but they do have a very good left tackle, rookie left tackle in Paris Johnson Jr. And if they get it going, you never know what can happen.
You're absolutely right, Emil, because one thing that the 49ers have always had trouble about is with Kyler Murray, because he's a running quarterback. Yep. It seems like they always play against Kyler Murray some form or fashion bad. And, you know, either they squeak out something or Arizona wins. But I want to ask about someone that we're all familiar with and someone I think I've had a conversation with you about is Jason Verrett, man. Is he really going to be on the field at any point in time for the 49ers?
I think he will be.
I think
he will be. I do think. Yes,
you know where he's from, right, Jay?
Yes, I do. Fairfield.
Fairfield native, represent, obviously. Look, Jason Verrett, and this has been the biggest thing you kind of learned this week with the Niners, is that even though he hasn't been on the roster, hasn't been part of the locker room for a good – since the beginning of the season, really. You know, obviously he had that devastating Achilles injury last year in November, trying to come back from an ACL injury the year prior. He still really remained a big part of this locker room. Like, we've talked to guys like Nick Bosa, Kalia Davis, other people, and they go, he's one of our inspirations, you know, right now. He's one of our inspirations on and off the field because of just how much he's had to overcome. And so I do think that while Jason Verrett, he's going to have to show that he is in game shape. I do think that he signed this deal with the 49ers because he wants to be a part of this championship run going into the postseason. And if he can just get elevated from the practice squad, which I think is very much a possibility, if a Tre'Davious Ward, if a D'Amador Lenore, if an Ambry Thomas goes down, I think Verrett can serve in admirably. You know, he's only 32 years old. It's not like he's 35, 36 playing corner. He's still got a little bit of leg in him, hopefully. So hopefully. I do think that Jason Verrett is a big addition, not just on the field for the Niners, but off the field, just in the locker room in general.
All right, Emil Fragoso, let me ask you about a couple of angles on this game. You tell me if they mean anything from a competitive standpoint. For the 49ers, you got Brock Purdy back home, and you also got Steve Wilkes' potential revenge game. Do those things mean anything?
Brock Purdy back home. Let's first address the Brock Purdy back home thing. Yes, Brock Purdy has not played at State Farm Stadium, which is in Glendale, Arizona, since 2020 when he played at the Fiesta Bowl against Oregon. There is that return home for him. He is a guy from Queen Creek, went to Perry High School in Gilbert. There is all of that. And Brock knows it. Brock knows the illusion of impressing in front of family and a homecoming. But it's not about that for Brock Purdy. It's about playing the Arizona Cardinals, who he didn't grow up being a fan of. He was a fan of the Dolphins. I'll just say that.
How'd that work?
His dad's a fan of the Dolphins. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's a Dolphins fan, a Red Sox fan. It's very, very strange.
What?
Yeah, it's very, very strange.
Okay, he just lost some points with me.
What?
Look,
I didn't mean to cut you off a meal. My bad.
No, you're good. You're good. But Brock Purdy, it's about playing the Cardinals, about playing what's in front of you. And that's what's been so great about Brock Purdy is that we talked with AZ Sports Tyler Drake, a Cardinals reporter for our sister station out there in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I asked him, I said, does Brock's demeanor now, you know, not getting too high or too low with wins and losses, is that how he behaved in high school? And he goes, yeah, he's the same exact guy he was in high school. Like in high school, they knew he was going to be something because he never treated the moment as too big. And I think that's what Brock is doing right now is that he's going home. Yes, it's a big deal to go home, play in front of your friends and family and whatnot. But at the end of the day, once the whistle blows and that 60 minutes of football, that's all that matters. All that matters to him is winning this game and having the Niners move on from 10-3 to 11-3.
What about the Steve Wilks thing? Nothing?
No, there is some Steve. I wrote about it today, actually, on Sackdown Sports. You can check out at sackdownsports.com. Steve Wilks was incredibly moot about the whole situation about going back to Arizona. We asked Steve Wilks, any emotions? He goes, he literally cut off Cam Inman the Mercury News.
Yeah.
He goes, no emotions. And then he goes, that was several years ago. We've been there several times. We're beyond that. And we just moved on. It was a very stern tone of like, we're not asking those questions. We're moving on to just, and that's kind of been Steve Wilks' whole approach this season is that he doesn't look in the past. He looks in the present and the future. He's only focused on what is now. He's not worried about the past. Even when he comes up to his presser on Thursdays, he doesn't want to talk about the last game because he's already moved past it in his mind. He's only focused on the present and what's ahead of them for the Niners. And that's kind of what Steve Wilks, it's not a homecoming for him because it wasn't a ceremonial exit for Steve Wilks with the Cardinals. It wasn't, you know, he was fired during the season. So it makes sense of like, maybe there's that revenge game in his mind, but in general, it's just about going to the Super Bowl for this team. And this is Steve Wilks' best chance. He can't let the exterior stuff cloud his judgment or cloud his decision-making.
Rocking with our guy, Emil Fragoso, our Sacktown Sports 1140 49er insider. Emil, you've mentioned a few times already within 5 minutes that they're focused on this week and or winning the Super Bowl. I'm interested in someone like yourself who's around the team quite a bit and have your ear and your eyes on the beat. Are these guys just that focused on winning the Super Bowl? Like, do you see something special in these guys or is it just kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek talk?
You know, I actually have a story to tell you, Jay, about this week between Nick Bosa and Chase Young. Obviously, they're the Buckeye bookends, and this is what I go back to sometimes. This happened literally yesterday at practice. So they go through their warm-ups and their drills in terms of going through pass rushing and power rushing, all that stuff. Then they go to the sleds. They always ended the warm-up, the second period, with the sled, right? And they go one-on-one with each other. Daryl Tapp, their assistant defensive line coach, goes the line. He sets it and goes, hut, hut. On the snap, you have to hit it on the snap. Otherwise, you're a false start. You're late. Nick Bosa, Chase Young go up against each other. Nick Bosa wins. Daryl Tapp looks at Chase Young and goes, damn, Nick got your ass again. And literally, Chase Young could not handle it and lined that thing back up again. They ran it again. And it was a close. It was a tie. But there's this whole iron sharpens iron cliche we talk about with this Niners team. It's really true. And they're doing it in week 15. With the sled. They're not even doing it on actual plays and practicing. They're doing it with the sled. There is so much competition to make everyone better within that's why they breed excellence every single week.
Talking to Emil Fragoso, of course. Emil, Brock Purdy, forget all the talk, you know, as game manager, whatever. How is he better right now than he was when he took over for Jimmy Garoppolo last season as the 49ers starting quarterback?
I'm sorry, could be the question you cut out a little there.
How is he better? How is Brock Purdy better right now than he was when he originally took over for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Brock Purdy is better than Jimmy Garoppolo because of two kind of things.
No. I know he's better than Jimmy. I mean, how is he better than he was when he first started?
When he took over.
Yes.
I apologize.
No, that's all right. All good.
Brock Purdy is better in his deep throwing. And that's been the biggest thing is that his ability to push the ball downfield. He is number one in the NFL in deep passes right now in a completion at 69%, which is more than 10% next to the highest completion percentage on a quarterback this season on passes 20 yards downfield. Brock Purdy and that evolution of his game has been the biggest reason why this Niners offense is elevated so high and why they score 25 plus every single week, because they're able to push the ball at all three levels, short, intermediate, and deep. And that's been the biggest thing. And Brock Purdy even admitted this week, he goes, this is the best I have thrown the football probably ever in my entire career, because he's playing efficient, he's playing correct, and he's making the right reads. And that's been the biggest thing, with the difference between him and Jimmy Garoppolo, is that when Garoppolo was back there throwing deep balls, he didn't just let it rip. He overthought all of it. Mm-hmm. Brock just lets it rip and just throws that thing.
Hmm. Emil, question, man. I started my first question off with Jason Verrett, and a huge fan of Talanoa Hufanga, of course, friend and family of the Sacramento Kings, Talanoa Hufanga.
You got a jersey, yeah, right?
Absolutely, man. I don't just walk it, I talk it. I talk it and I walk it. But I asked that. My next question comes to you as far as Jair Brown, the other safety that's filling in for Talanoa Hufanga. And it looks like it's going to be his, you know, his job. But you came in this very studio and broke the Logan Ryan signing to me first. You were the first person to do it. Mm-hmm. Is it Jair Brown's position to lose, or is Logan Ryan maybe sneaking into existence to play with Mr. Gibson next to him?
I do think it's Jair Brown's position to lose. You know, since he took over, even this season, he is – one of the highest graded PFF rookies right now. He was second last week, I believe, only to Joey Porter Jr. of the Steelers. He has been phenomenal since he came in. And the Niners kind of thought he would be. He's so mature and so, I don't even say polished, but he has the right mentality. He has the right mindset. They call him a sponge because he really talks to every single person. Secondary, linebackers, defensive linemen. He was working on shedding blocks with Chase Young just last week. This guy is so special for a rookie. Again, he was a captain at Penn State, led the NCAA in interceptions last season. And then going into week 14, he's leading the secondary huddle out onto the field. He's the one leading the huddle. And at 23 years old, as a rookie secondary member, coming in for an injured Talanoa Hufanga, that just speaks volumes to not only his character, but just how he's perceived by the whole locker room.
Mm-hmm. Jay mentioned earlier that we know the 49ers have had issues with mobile quarterbacks. They made some adjustments that helped them contain Jalen Hurts. Will they try some of the same things against Kyler that they tried and had success with against Jalen Hurts a couple weeks ago?
They will, but Steve Wilkes actually went in detail about this yesterday, about how Kyler and Jalen are very different.
Ah.
Jalen likes to go up the A and B gaps a lot. Kyler likes to scramble around on the outside, which has been an issue for the Niners over the years. And I do think that Nick Bosa and Chase Young are going to be prioritized in stopping that, because especially with their interior line issues right now, the Niners with just injuries, it's going to be Chase Young, Nick Bosa's job to stop that. And I do think Kyler is very dangerous that way. Now, does Kyler fully trust his knee after the ACL to, you know, make all those cuts and those moves? Who knows? Obviously, you don't want to root for an injury, but you need to contain a guy like Kyler Murray. And I don't even want to say force him to throw the football, but you don't want him to scramble for a 20-yard gain on a broken play on third down. That's been the Niners' biggest kryptonite all year, is screen passes and letting third and 20s become first downs. That's been their whole kryptonite this year for defense. And so that's kind of the biggest thing for the Niners. Like, we have to contain this guy.
Joined by Emil Fragoso, South Town Sports 49er Insider. If you had to guess right now on Friday, 4:18 p.m., who plays and who doesn't play for the 49ers this weekend, Emil?
I would say that, just going off the questionables, obviously Dre Greenlaw and Tre'Davious Ward are on there. I think both men do play. I think Dre Greenlaw practiced today. Tre'Davious Ward was off to the side, but he's, even yesterday, he took part in the warm-ups and then just didn't practice. They're being very, very cautious with this guy. Like, even when he came out in the first quarter last week, he stayed in uniform, in pads, for the rest of the game. And that signaled to me that he could have played if they needed him to. They didn't, thankfully. And so they're just being really cautious with this guy who's had lower body groin injuries, foot injuries all season long. He's been battling through ailments all season long. So I do think Tre'Davious Ward and Dre Greenlaw play, which is a huge boost to this defense. And then I also think that at least one of Aaron Banks or Spencer Burford will play, maybe both of them as well. They both also practiced today. So some good news there. It's only really the defensive line that's a real issue for them on the interior. Besides that, they're pretty much fully healthy.
Yeah, the bad news to me is it looks like Isaiah Oliver may have to play. I feel like the 49ers are vulnerable when he's the nickelback, Emil. By the way, congratulations on your Raiders last night, because you're a Raider fan.
Yeah.
When it all is said and done, right? Yeah, that was incredible.
I'm frankly, I'm an Antonio Pierce fan right now, honestly.
Okay.
That guy breeds being a Raider. Yeah. Like, he is so much. I really actually hope they give him a shot at the permanent job. I think what he has done since Josh Manziel would leave his duties along with Champ Bailey, I think he's very, very talented. And I think that it shows by how much they care and want to win for him.
Yeah.
That's who they should go into next. Like Max Crosby has talked about this so much of, like, he is just such a leader of men. And that's why I really appreciate Antonio Pierce. And I do think this Raiders team is full of talent. The issue is finding the quarterback. And that's really been the thing of, is Aiden O'Connell the guy going forward, or is it someone else? You never know.
Yeah. A nice win. And before we let you go, since it's Friday, we got to ask you about your card of the day. Emil has one of the most valuable card collections west of the Mississippi.
Got a boy.
Yeah, what are you going to share with us today?
West of the Mason-Dixon line, huh?
I wouldn't say it's most valuable. You would be shocked the cards that I see in just like someone's like junk drawer out of these card collectors, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But what I do have, obviously, why do you talk about this before, is I've been building this set called Downtown of the Studios, and I have 16 of the 20 of the 2016-17 set. Mm-hmm. Well, now I have number 17, introducing Mr. Devin Booker. Mr. Devin Booker, 9.5 gem mint, 110, all 9.5s, a very, very beautiful card. One of the more pricey cards in the set. I am now only missing the Curry, the LeBron, and the Kobe. So those three are the only ones missing. Besides that, the whole set is complete at 9.5 or higher.
So real quick, Emil, did you – obviously, it sounds like you pinpointed this card. You went and had to go get this card singular, right? Okay.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. And I actually got a really good deal on this card because this card actually sold with one more. It shows you the grading on this on BGS. It shows you the grading. And there was one that had two 10s but had a 9 and 9.5. And it actually sold for $140 more than I bought this card for. So I did a really good deal on this about a week prior. So I'm very, very happy to have this card in my collection. I'm also very much a fan of Devin Booker. And it's very fitting because the Niners are playing the Cardinals this week. So
$140 more. Not $140. $140 more.
Saved $140 in the sale that just happened, so I'm just saying.
Well played. All right. Thank you, Emil. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great one.
Yeah, congratulations on your Devin Booker acquisition. Emil Fragoso, 49er Insider, brought to you again by Timber Creek Golf Course and Timber Creek Ballroom. I don't know, Jay.
Ballroom.
Yeah, 49ers. I like it. Are they in trouble against Arizona?
No. Look,
something about it makes me a little.
I get it. You're uneasy unsettled. A little bit, a little queasy, a little Pepto Bismol in your life may be needed, but I just think you're still off the jet lag a little bit. And I understand Emil. I understand Emil is doing what he's supposed to do as an insider, as an information based person. You know, he's not supposed to call it out and just say the 49ers are going to walk, you know, dog walk the Cardinals. And I understand that, but I'm thinking bigger picture, and that's why I asked that question. Is this team really geared towards, you know, playing week by week, which you have to, but for the bigger picture, the goal, winning a Super Bowl? And if you want to win a Super Bowl, the first step of that is probably being the number one seed because you have a greater opportunity to get there on shorter weeks. And one thing we know about this 49er team is injury is their worst enemy. I've said it since the beginning of the season. Nate comes in here, Emil comes in here, I say it on air, I've talked to people. The only team that's going to beat the 49ers this year is the health team.
Right.
Injuries.
But that's the problem right now.
I mean, they got
a lot of guys on defense that didn't practice this week.
Yeah, but the Cardinals are playing for draft picks. They're not playing for wins. Mm-hmm. The 49ers are playing for a Super Bowl. They're playing for a championship, a number one seed.
Yeah.
You just got to go out there and ball out, Whitey. You can't let the Cardinals – you can't catch the bird flu like Drake's.
Well, like you said, Kyler Murray, he gives them fits. Mobile quarterbacks give them fits. I'm just a little concerned.
Stop talking yourself into it,
Whitey. They're so close. They're so close to the number one seed. And you're right. That's the one thing we've all said all year long. What's the biggest problem? Well, other than injury.
Yep.
And here they are with a month to go, and all of a sudden – I got a few guys banged up on defense. It just makes me nervous.
This sounds bad. And follow where I'm going. I'd rather they be hurt now than be hurt in January.
If those are my options,
yes.
Sure. Yeah.
And so the Niners have a knack for being hurt, like multiple players being hurt two or three times a season.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to kind of always hone it in. You know, now there's always one or two players who just can't. they're gone for the season, as we see Hufanga. You know, we've seen quarterback last year. They have to kind of hone it in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping, you know, this year's that year, and we just have a few nicks and knacks, but nobody's gone now for the rest of the season. And it's just time to handle business, Whitey. I'm not going to let you talk me out of it.
All right. I don't want to talk you out of it. I'm just being honest. Hufanga's out. Okay. Well, looks like they've been able to manage that. And you got Ward with the groin thing that could linger. Just makes me a little uncomfortable. But I'm sure they'll take care of their business. Pep, have you ever seen that stadium, by the way?
Arizona? Yeah, yeah, I went to a game when they were 7-0, and they played the Texans, if I'm not mistaken, because they had just got Zach Ertz.
Okay.
And I was out there so that was two seasons ago. Mm-hmm. I believe, yeah, they were 7-0. I went to the game against the Texans.
I was there for spring training once, and they had the Final Four workouts there. Mm. We didn't go to the Final Four, I think it was Final Four. So went to the practices and then walked outside and saw the football field that they have outside, yes. And they bring it in on the track.
Yes.
And I know they're not the only place that
amazing. It
though.
Is, man. Yeah. It is. I mean, even like the Crypt down there where they flip from hockey to basketball, uh-huh. or basketball to hockey to back to basketball. Uh-huh. Like, it's amazing how they, you know, these crews, you know, change floors, turfs, and all that type of stuff.
Speaking of gas, we just had a meal on, of course. All guests brought to you by the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. And Doug Christie's going to join us top of the hour. That's right. DC going to be with the Drive Guys top of the hour. When we come back, do we need to accept that the Kings are going to be up and down this year? Kind of a yo-yo thing. Are we just going to have to get used to that? Next with the Drive Guys, Sactown Sports. Ho, 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 and happy holidays. Thanks for being with us today, Whitey and Jay. Drapes, a little under the weather, hopefully back on Monday. Really appreciate you being with us. Really appreciate your participation, and I appreciate it when somebody like Scooter916 says, Whitey, there's nothing to worry about here. He senses, you know, he heard me talk to you, Jay, about my anxiety over the 49ers. Scooter916 says, it's not a problem now, Whitey. They have the backups to continue to win, pardon me, against a team like the Cards. Yeah. He says, my true prediction, 35-10, 49ers. You know, it's just football being football. You know how it is with the 49ers. They're just so close now. That's the thing. I just want them to get the number one seed and then rest up and get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. Look, 35-10, I like where he's going with it, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll accept that. And no injuries. About 35-10, no injuries, and we're good to go.
Yeah, I could just see, well, I won't even go there, but, you know, if they run the ball and then that keeps the 49er offense off the field, it's just a little concerning. But, you know, it's a defense mechanism. It's like, oh, I was worried about them last week. And, you know, that game at times was a little ugly.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, you know, it's just that time of year. Crazier things can happen sometimes because you're a little banged up, but still,
agreed.
They're still the best team. In the NFL.
Yeah, you got to take care of business. No slippage. You've had your slippage. I didn't want to see the three games in a row slippage because you might have had something down the road here. But I think now they've put themselves in a situation where you might be able to have one more mistake and maybe still finish with the number one. But that's really based upon Dallas having a few guys, you know, few teams.
But the Eagles have such an easy schedule.
They do. If they sneak by Seattle, which I think Seattle's going to win this week.
Really?
I really do, because I think Seattle knows if they lose this week, it's over for them probably too, especially with the Rams playing decent.
Yeah.
I would imagine they're going to get the best Seattle, hence why we saw Geno sit out last week. I think they knew going into last week, and they probably didn't have an opportunity to win that game, even though they played decent, played very well. And I think this week they're looking for the W against Philadelphia.
I think the Eagles skate through their other three.
Oh, yeah. Commanders and the Giants
twice.
I think
they had problems with Washington earlier this year, but they still won.
Yeah.
The Giants are terrible.
No one's having problems with the Commanders right now. The 49ers better not have a problem with the Commanders. But New York is bad, but for whatever reason, they've won, you know, the last couple of weeks on the arm of DeVito, but they should not beat. No way, no how should they beat Philly.
Pardon me, I'm sorry. How much do the Ravens scare you? Because that's
a lot. Absolutely, a lot. Right. Yeah. Which is, I actually thought the Ravens might sneak one out against San Francisco. And it's because of the running quarterback.
Yeah.
The 49ers play zone so much that It scares me, though. They did a great job against Jalen Hurts, and he's not Lamar Jackson by all means. He's mobile, doesn't run as much. But Fred Warner just sat in the middle all game.
It was weird because late in the game, it had pretty much been decided. But the 49ers, the pass rushers, they were trying not to over-pursue. So it almost looked like the Pro Bowl because they're like standing there like we don't want them to get around us. And Jalen's standing back there for like 5, 6, 7 seconds.
Right.
You know, it was odd.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was effective ultimately.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you can see even on the last third down when Jalen ran and Fred was sitting right there. He got the 8. He needed the 10 or 9 or whatever it was. And he was like, nope. I'm right here, been here all game. And I think Jalen saw that. And that's why you saw Jalen move back and forth, north-south. Excuse me, he went east-west instead of north-south. And so I think that's something the 49ers will probably, you know, put the same scheme in against Kyler.
Hey, the text line crackling to life here. Appreciate that. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
Crackling.
What's crackling? From the 916. Better midseason acquisition for their team. Niners signing Verrett or King signing Juan Toscano-Anderson?
JTA.
Yeah.
JTA.
JTA is going to be a nice fit.
I think so, too.
Yeah. He'll be a nice, he'll be like, oh, man, I'm glad they got him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Root like for Verrett, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
From the 916, hey, fellas, how about Herb Jones or Tari Eason? Seem perfect fits and Monty guys. Whether we could pry him loose or not. Yeah, Herb, you ain't getting Herb.
No.
I don't think you're getting either one of those
guys.
Nice fit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't want Herb right now? Mm-hmm. If you could get Herb Jones, he would be absolutely perfect at the 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect.
We should dream bigger. Get a big defender punisher type.
Where are they at?
They're in demand. Yeah, that's big.
We're looking, when I say with the Kings are looking for the same thing that 6 other teams are looking for. And the whole league is looking for 3-and-D guys and athletic wings and athletic big men and guys who can stretch the floor. I mean, that's on everybody's wish list. Tis the season, Christmas list. Mm-hmm. They're minus, you know, a handful of teams. We're all looking for Herb Joneses. Every single person, every single team.
Let's say you could get Lauri Markkanen. Would you give up 2 number ones to get him?
No.
Because I think, and we don't even know if he's available, whoever you get, I think it's going to end up costing something like that. Or Keegan, that again was a report.
Yeah.
It was the Raptors are believed to want Keegan Murray in any potential trade. So again, a little iffy, but I don't see the Kings giving up. If you give up Keegan for one of those guys, what you're just moving pieces around.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I'll propose this to you, Whitey, and everybody else, 916-339-1140. Straight up, right now, I know the money doesn't match. It's just, you know, okay, hypothetical fantasy.
We can fill in other ways.
Yes, absolutely. Pascal Siakam for Keegan Murray, straight up.
Nope.
You doing it?
Nope.
Okay. I'm with you. I'm not doing it. I think Keegan has a better upside than what we see from Pascal Siakam.
Right.
Keegan Murray for OG Anunoby, straight up.
No.
Okay. So when you're looking at that, I agree with you. I think,
and I like OG.
I do too, but I would stick with Keegan. I think Keegan has more upside.
And here is the text of the day nominee. Remember earlier we were talking about how you were born about the time I got married.
Yeah.
Jay should take a 23andMe test to see if he's Whitey's kid. That's a good idea. It's not necessary. I don't think we need to do the testing.
Right.
I think we're okay on that. We know what's up, but that's it's
you're gonna have me out of wedlock.
Interesting idea.
Yeah.
Not necessary. Jay said something before the show started that I thought was interesting as we were talking about the Kings and where they are. And, you know, yesterday a lot of people were wondering which Kings team is going to show up. Do you think, Jay, it's your own question I'm throwing back at you. Do we need to accept that the Kings are going to be up and down this year?
I say yes. I truly do.
We can't.
I know.
We can't.
I get it. I mean, that's why I proposed the question, because I didn't want to feel like I was alone. You know? I mean, how about yourself?
I just feel like if that's the case, if you feel that way now, then you have to do something, because you have no chance to accomplish anything if it's going to be like that all year. You know? If you're that prone to the ups and downs, then that's a problem. And then that's a clear indication. You get through this homestand, if you still have that feeling that, all right, we're still prone to that, then you must address that. I don't think you can – I understand what you're saying. It's like, yeah, that's the nature of the team. Can't be tolerated. That has to be fixed one way or the other if that's the case.
And what if there's – I mean, there's always a fix, but what if it's something that Monty doesn't see there, and do you accept it then? Like, let's say this team right now, you know, I believe they're going to make a move. I've said I think it's going to be a secondary move, an Alex Caruso type move. I don't think it's going to be the splash that a lot of Kings fans are looking for. That might solidify, you know, the sinking ship a little bit. And the ship's not sinking, but it might plug two holes up compared to the six that they have.
Good listing here, there, but yeah, it's not sinking.
And maybe the downs aren't as, you know, you don't see the downs as much. Maybe instead of three-game losings, you have, you know, one here and then kind of what we've been seeing, you know, where it's like you win two, you lose one. Oh, man, they lost two to the Rockets? Oh, but they beat Minnesota. They beat OKC. You know, I think it's kind of going to be like that all year. And if Caruso, instead of twice, you know, three to the Pelicans, twice to them, or twice back-to-back to the Rockets, maybe you lose once to them. I think he, you know, a person like that can plug up a hole or two, but I still don't see this team without a huge splash being always, you know, having eight-game runs. I just don't see that with this team.
How is that different from last year? Why are they different from last year? Well, get to that when we come right back. Also, Ja, looks like Ja's coming back next week, and you know what? He says he's better. I don't know about you, but I believe him. Also, we got Doug Christie coming up today with the Drive Guys on Sac Talk. Just want to update you on a couple of long losing streaks in the NBA that could continue that are on the line tonight. The Pistons have lost 21 straight. They're playing tonight. They're playing right now in Philly. 7:24 to go. 7:11 to go now in the first half. Philly 40, the Pistons 30. So the Pistons are down 10 in the second quarter. They're trying to avoid their 22nd straight loss. At the same time, you got the Spurs. They've lost 18 in a row, and they're hosting the Lakers. And you may be watching that game first quarter, and the Spurs are up 13-4. So that one may be coming to an end. The Spurs could end their what? You're skeptical that the Spurs are going to end their 18-game losing streak?
Yeah, 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. Talk to me when that says third quarter, at least. I mean,
oh, they're ready. They're
buckets
ready,
right man. There by the Lakers. A quick two.
They're bringing it tonight.
16-16. They might, man. I don't know what's going on with this floor, though.
Glad you mentioned that.
What is that?
It's what is it?
You still in season tournament looking or something? No, they're not.
It's their what is it? Their city edition or
yes,
something?
Yes.
And I was gonna ask you about that, but I thought, you know, maybe it's just because I grew up in a time where they didn't do that. To me, when teams change their uniforms and their colors too much to the point where it's like, I don't know who's playing.
Who's who, huh?
You know what I mean? I mean, don't team colors mean something?
I would say so. Definitely. I mean, they got like orange on the floor.
Yeah. Orange
little
and teal.
Kind of teal. Right. I was going to say a little turquoise or some sorts. Yeah. And of course, we see Anthony Davis in the street clothes, Charles Barkley would call it. But yeah, I guess. That's what I have for you, Whitey. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sun. What is that? Yeah. A sun at half court or something? It looks like like if you're drawing a painting or, you know, you're painting a picture and you kind of have the triangles on the outside of the circle to depict a sun. That's what's at half court. And the sun has like three or four different colors inside of each circle. So it's like a yellow circle, kind of
that's their city edition.
Yeah.
And the court is a
orange circle.
It's supposed to, you know, represent or honor certain aspects of San Antonio. That's
sure.
Cool. But maybe this doesn't matter, but I know when I first turned it on, you know, I've been watching the NBA for a few years. When I first turned it on, I had no idea what league that was. You know, for a split second, it's like, what is that? Oh, okay, that's the Spurs. So, I mean, is that worth selling a few extra jerseys?
Oh, yeah.
Why would anyone want one of those jerseys?
Yeah, someone likes it.
Other
guarantee someone's rock. Someone in the audience has one on right now. Went to the game, they were selling it probably, you know, $139, and I'll take that.
I do like, you know, the Kings have all the different looks, and I like all the looks, and it is kind of fun, I admit, to see, oh, which one are they wearing tonight?
Yeah. You know, I'm more of the royal blue prone.
Uh-huh.
You know,
that's a big issue.
Yeah.
Royal blue or purple.
Yeah. I mean, but I respect the purple. You have to – Sacramento Kings are purple, so you have to go with that. But I like the throwback royal blues, though.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing in this day and age – you don't really have to make a choice.
No, you don't. That's what you said.
We'll wear the purplest, and then the next night we'll wear the blue.
15 different jerseys.
Both.
So nothing wrong with that. I'm listen, I mean, your pocket's got to be lined properly to go get all 15 if you want. But I'm with it, you know.
Nothing I can't even get a, like you were going to get a fitted hat. Mm-hmm. Those are too expensive now.
Yeah, hats are, I'm a hat guy, but hats are through the roof right now.
Yeah, you have to kinda go get a couple, and now it's like, nope.
When's the last time you bought a King's hat, Whitey?
I don't think I've ever. I've been given one or two. I don't think I've ever bought one.
Oh, okay.
I don't buy basketball hats.
Okay.
I buy baseball hats.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah. But I haven't bought a, well, I just got some of the so Japanese League hats, but they're not fitted. And, you know.
Snapbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with a snapback.
Fitted ones. I mean, that's, you know, that's legit, but those are expensive.
Yeah. They're 40 right? plus. Yeah. They are expensive. They are. I mean, snapbacks are 30 and up, you know? So, I mean.
I got a deal on these.
Yeah. Well,
dollar's doing good against the yen right now.
Maybe I should have sent you a few bucks there, yeah. brother. Yeah, hey, I like hey, that. Hey. I mean, I'm a hat guy. I pretty much wear a hat every single day for the most part. You know, maybe twice a week I don't, but I like different hats. I like baseball, basketball, football. You know, one thing about it, and this I've asked this question, for football, I pretty much wear nothing but Niners, different variations. Mm-hmm. You know, different colors, variations, white, black, blue, whatever, you know, that type. Now, I'm not going to go off the beaten path and rock kind of like what we're seeing with the San Antonio Spurs version. If I don't like it, it's not for me. But I like to wear all colors, so I have to have kind of different variations of the teams that I like. Basketball-wise, I'm not really so much as hung up. I try to wear as many Kings hats like I have on one today. You know, this is going to get me in trouble. I don't mind wearing a Warriors hat. It doesn't mean, you know, it's like, hey, if it's something that's nice, I'm going to rock it. But I'm a California guy. So I'm building all that up to say I'm a California guy. Now, look, I will never wear a Dodgers hat. You know, I just
says
can't
the guy
do it.
Who wears a Warrior hat.
Yeah, I know. That's what's sad.
Wearing
I know
a Warrior hat
trouble.
Is a gateway to wearing a Dodger.
I will. No, it's not. I will never wear a Lakers hat.
He says now.
Because this is the thing. Prior to the last year and a half, Kings fans didn't care about Warriors. Now all of a sudden it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no problem. Like, my favorite basketball player is Klay Thompson. I like Klay Thompson.
Really?
Yeah.
Big night last night.
I really
night.
Like Klay Thompson.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's struggling. But I like Klay, you know? There's certain things I just can't go. I won't, you know, I'm not wearing a Red Sox hat, you know. So, like, that's my thing with baseball, and I bring that question back up, is I only wear A's hats. Now I can care less because right. they're not treating me out of respect,
yeah.
so I'm not going to treat them. Yeah,
time
so
for you to, yeah.
Got to venture
spread
out.
Spread your wings a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I do. I need to get my soaring eagle on.
The one thing I totally do not understand and would never do is, okay, it's one thing if a team wears different colors. They have alternate uniforms, but when you have a hat, like say a Giants hat, and it's a Giants cap, but I've seen them like Dodger colors. Those are the things like, why?
No.
You know what I mean? I've seen like Dodger hats that are like yellow,
mm-hmm.
and what is that? So it'll match your outfit? Why?
Yeah.
Why do they make, I guess someone must buy them because they make them. But why would someone wear those?
Yeah, I have no idea because I'm not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like there's just certain teams. Certain things, you know, certain designs, that's over the boundaries for me. I'm not wearing a Dodgers. I'm not wearing a Lakers. I'm not wearing, you know, though. Like,
it's almost like he's talking to himself. Huh?
Yeah,
like,
no.
Trying
no.
to convince himself.
Not a Red Sox.
I won't do it.
Yeah, I mean, just saying. I won't wear a Seahawk hat.
Good for you.
Definitely not. Will never wear a Cowboys hat.
What
would never wear
a
Texas A&M hat.
Would you even
hat.
Agree to a bet in which you might have to wear it if you lost?
What?
Let's just say... You wouldn't bet a Cowboy fan, and you knew the Cowboys
no way.
Were going to lose.
I'd rather give you my money.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather give yeah. you my money than to wear a Cowboys hat.
Uh-huh.
No way, no how.
I'm with you. All right. Hey, we—
Never wear a Raiders hat.
Really?
What? I'd pass out before I wear a Raiders hat.
But you used to, right? Or do I have
no,
that
No, never.
Wrong?
I've never put a Raiders hat on my head ever in life.
Oh, okay.
No way, no how.
But the Warriors,
what's wrong
like,
with you, Whitey?
Well, I'm trying to figure out.
You still
out,
jet lagging, brother?
I'm trying to figure out where we are here. Because like
well,
the Warriors are like,
because
ah,
the Warriors
no
prior to the Kings, there yeah. was no beef.
Uh-huh.
There's no beef.
But there is now.
Well, it is now. Okay, yeah. I respect it. I get it. Listen, now, are the Kings going to finance my hat collection?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay, thank you, brother.
I don't think so. Maybe that's something we can ask Doug Christie.
We might
catch up with Doug Christie Also, hey, why are the Kings so much more inconsistent now than they were last year? And what about Ja? Ja's coming back. Am I the only one that believes him, that he's better? Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.